Joy Rutt will come and share our scripture with us.
I'll be reading Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and all had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved.
So as most of you know, I've been on a trip, Bill and I have been, over the last 2 weeks. And when I looked ahead to this Sunday service, I decided before I left that this would probably be more stories than a proper sermon. And when I looked at the scripture readings, lectionary readings for this Sunday, this was the one that stood out to me. This ideal brief period in the very beginning of the church after Pentecost, when there's this amazing description of Christian community at its best. It stuck out to me because I thought, that's a little bit of what I hope to experience maybe in some of the connections and some of the experiences of our trip. And I must say, it exceeded my expectations. So I want to share a few stories. As I said to the kids, we went through Turkey, but we went to Lebanon to connect with our daughter and her husband, who is Lebanese. They work in Saudi Arabia. We've been talking for, I don't even know how long, about making this trip. COVID certainly made us wait much longer, and timing, all those things made it complicated. But finally, everybody's schedules came together, and we were able to go. So a few stories. We stayed a couple nights in the fabulous, actually, Airbnb in the old city of Byblos, the Arabic's name Jebel. It's right on the coast north of Beirut. It's one of the most, it's been continuously inhabited for at least 6,000 years. It's amazing. There's a Crusader castle, there's Roman castle, there's Phoenician temple, there's just layers and layers and layers and layers of history there. And we stayed in this Airbnb that was the cellar of an old sandstone home, and you could walk out in the patio and see the port, to see the Mediterranean Sea. And when we discovered, or actually Anna and Maroon had gone to check it out and make sure they knew where to take us, and they discovered that just up these steps was the Maronite Catholic Church of Jebel or Byblos. So the first morning only Bill made it, I confess, but the second morning we both went to 7 a.m. Mass at the Maronite Catholic Church. And that church, we learned, well, first just to say my impressions, 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, there were 25 or 30 people there, singing, women helping reading scriptures and leading prayers. It wasn't all male priests dominated. It was great. There was wonderful vitality there. And just the sense of the Spirit of God, very alive in that congregation. And afterwards, this man came up to us. His name was Raymond, and he was very curious about who we were, and maybe more curious when he realized we were Protestants from America. He said, "Why do you want to come to our church?" And we said, "Because we feel like, you know, God's Spirit is everywhere." And he was very, just a delightful man. And shared that that church's name is the Church of Jean-Marc. Their tradition is that the gospel writer Mark founded that church. First century. Could you get any older than that? And he had some interesting stories to tell about experiences during the Crusades that had happened in that area. A period, I can't remember if it was Crusades or Ottomans, but some point when, you know, non-Christians had turned the church into a stable, and how there eventually then it was restored and cleaned out. But again, just this powerful sense of connection and his desire to connect with us. And then we had multiple experiences of around table. Part of what struck me in this reading is it's not just worship. It's also experiences breaking bread together, sharing meals in each other's homes. And some of you have traveled in other parts of the world, so you know this. But when we went on our adventures with Marin and Anna, you know, we decided we needed to drink. There is the drive-by stop. They don't have drive-through, but they do have drive-by, which is literally Maroon would just drive up to this store that was on the edge of the highway, and a little guy would come out, and we'd give our order, and he would deliver to us what we wanted out of the store. So there was that approach to getting a drink. But other times, several times, it was like, okay, we're going to stop. We're going to get a little something to drink, eat, use the restroom. And it would turn into an hour. You don't just run into McDonald's or wherever and get or the convenience store and jump back in the car. We would sit and talk, and they would talk to the store owners, and they would find out things. And so that sense of hospitality at the table, and then, of course, when we arrived in the north of Lebanon with Maroon's family, that was like times 100. Amazing experiences of hospitality at the table. And that sense of the ways we connected through that shared food and shared time together. Last Sunday morning, we were at St. Shalita Maronite Catholic Church in Endicott, Lebanon, which is the northern Lebanon. It's one of the multiple churches, but one of the churches within sight of his parents' home. And again, the vitality. I don't know. I guess I've been to, you know, Catholic churches in Europe, cathedrals where you kind of felt like there were 10 people and everything else was tourists. And it just wasn't like that. Even the one in Byblos, which is a tourist spot, wasn't like that. But certainly this one up in the north. The priest has been there 30 years. He preached like an evangelical, the tone. I have no idea what he was saying, but you could feel like he was a preacher. He was into it. Maroon had checked, and he had said, yes, we could take communion there, so long as we were baptized Christians. But there were like 8 or 9 kids doing acolyte roles, popping in and out of the side room, doing things, you know, bringing bread, the two little girls holding their hands to the priest passed the piece of Christ to them, and then they passed it out to the whole congregation. So there were all these kids, very active, lots of singing, and the young people in the choir. And then when it was time to come forward to receive communion, just the energy, all these kids and young people, everybody just like, I wouldn't say they rushed forward, but they were eager. They were eager to receive communion. And it was just very powerful to be a part of that. And then afterward, this was awesome, they have a bell. So 3 or 4 of the young men were ringing the bell after the service, which required jumping up on this stone and grabbing on the rope and using their full body weight to jump like off the stone to make the bell ring. So that was, Bill got it on video. And then, so all of that, sense of community. Carrie, you referenced the community here, and I think I have just been growing with my awareness that what we have here is also a very powerful, vital, loving, generous community, and that people around us are longing for community, for connection, for a place to be a part, and to share with people in really alive kind of ways. The second leg, the last 2 days, which when we were leaving Lebanon, we said, why did we add on Italy and Assisi? Why did we do this? We should have just gone home. But it was really good. Now, yesterday, a Saturday evening prayer, when I said we'd gone to Assisi, Andrea Mooney, all of you who know Andrea will recognize this. She said, oh, yeah, Assisi, that's kind of the Catholic Disney World. That's Andrea, right? But I said to her, you know, I had some of that concern, but that wasn't what we experienced. There were people, especially the first day, it was a holiday, but what we experienced was that is a pilgrimage place. And so that what we felt was just this 800 years of spiritual energy, that this has been a place that pilgrims have been coming and are still coming. Again, experiencing Mass in two different places and just feeling that energy of people longing for God and seeking and finding it there. And that beautiful blend of Franciscan spirituality, which is about an incredible devotion to God, but also concern for the poor and concern for creation. That is Franciscan spirituality, and it is still very palpable there. So we read in the Basilica of San Francesco, and could tell that, realized there was a Mass starting, so we went and sat in the back, and the friar, the Franciscan monk who was leading the singing, was just this kind of older, little bit overweight, happy guy. You could just feel his joy when he was singing. He would just be kind of like, you know, sort of like, he couldn't stay still. He was so happy to be singing. And of course, the only words we could understand, really, were the Alleluias, the Easter Alleluias. But there were a lot of Alleluias that were being sung. And so, so I just share with you that what I thought was mostly a family trip ended up also being some real spiritual renewal and blessing, and I'm really, really grateful for that. And just grateful for the reminder that in so many different ways, people of Christian faith gather, worship, serve, share, know God's love, and share it through acts of love and service in their communities. We don't need to understand each other's languages. We don't know what's happening in the liturgies, but there is something at the core that still connects us in such powerful ways. And I'm very grateful for that. And grateful for this first church, that even though the Christian church has not been able to sustain that level of community, the Spirit never stops working to make that happen in us over and over again. The Spirit of God is at work in us, creating community, creating bonds, and empowering us to live in love and service. Thanks be to God. I'm very grateful.